This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Lawrence Fishburne plays Othello in the new film version of Shakespeare's play. The film is adapted and directed by Oliver Parker. In this scene from the film, Othello reveals to Iago, played by Kenneth Branagh, his intention to murder his wife.
I greet thy love. Get me some poison, Iago, this night. I'll not expostulate with her, lest her body and beauty unprovide my mind again this night, Iago.
Do it not with poison. Strangle her in her bed. Even the bed she hath contaminated.
Good. Good. The justice of it pleases. Very good.
Othello is now playing in Los Angeles and New York and opens nationally on December 29th. My guest Lawrence Fishburne also starred as Ike Turner in What's Love Got to Do with It? He played the father in Boys in the Hood. You may remember him as a streetwise chess player in Searching for Bobby Fischer or as Cowboy Curtis on Pee-wee's Playhouse. When he was still in his teens, he appeared in Apocalypse Now as the young soldier in the boat with Martin Sheen. I spoke with Lawrence Fishburne in April of 92, after the release of his film Deep Cover. He played a cop who goes undercover as a drug dealer in an attempt to penetrate a cocaine cartel. This cop hates drugs. His father was a junkie. But posing as a dealer is so easy, it frightens him.
I was supposed to be making a difference. Here I was selling drugs to kids and pregnant women. I hated doing what I was doing, but I was good at it. Being a cop was never this easy.
Your father, I believe, was a corrections officer, so I wonder if that affected your attitude toward cops when you were growing up.
Not so much my attitude towards cops as it was my attitude toward the possibility of winding up in jail.
Right.
I knew that that wasn't a place I wanted to go. My father would often come to me with messages from the young inmates that he was in charge of. And the one message that kept coming to me was that if I ever messed up and wound up in jail, that they would take care of me. So I knew that was a place I didn't want to go.
Did a lot of people assume after Boys in the Hood, in which you played the father, did a lot of people assume that you only wanted to play positive role models after that?
I'm sure a lot of people do think that. I think that there's a need for all that kind of stuff and positive role models and the like, but I have to do things for me. And, you know, we're all not positive role models, you know. And I think my responsibility is to reflect truth wherever I see it. And the truth is not always a positive role model, you know.
I think probably the most interesting roles are also probably not positive role models.
Yeah, the you know, some of the most fun are not the role model guys. Absolutely.
A good example is your role in King of New York.
Which I'm very, very proud of.
Yeah, yeah. And you were, you know... big drug dealer in that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, he wasn't even a drug dealer. I mean...
just controlled vice.
Christopher Walken's character deals drugs. My character kills people.
Right, okay.
You know,
yeah,
and,
right.
And it's the kind of character you see in the movies all the time. For me, he's a classic two-gun kid. The role was written for a white actor, and we get to see white actors occasionally, or more than occasionally, often in movies, run around with two pistols, shooting people, laughing about it, having a good time, and going off scot-free. It's a classic... movie type, and it's something I've always wanted to do. I had to campaign very hard to win that role, and I did, and I'm very proud of the work because you know, I was able to do something that people, because of their color, aren't allowed to do. You know,
I usually hear the opposite complaint from African-American actors, that they have to that they're tired of being offered the roles of the killers, and you really
right.
went after this one.
Yeah, I wasn't even offered it. You see, that was the whole that was the whole problem. You know, they offered me the cop that Wesley Snipes played in that movie, which would have been fun, but I think Jump was a lot more fun. And you know, I there's a lot of young cats who see the movie who really enjoy it. Not just young people, but you know, older people too who really enjoy the movie. So. I'm really proud of that. I'm just as proud of that as I am of Furious.
The father in
the father
in
Boys in the
Hood.
Yeah.
You started acting as a child. I think you had your first big role when you were 10. Did you want to act, or was it more your parents' suggestion?
I wanted to be a doctor, and then I wanted to be a basketball player.
Uh-huh.
But by that time, I was 9, and I got my first role professionally when I was 10. I had been doing, you know, plays in school and stuff, you know, from the age of 3, I guess. So the acting came to me naturally, as it does to most children, because children are the best actors. And from the age of 10, after getting my first job, it just kind of creeped along and built, you know, and kept building and building and building until, you know, here I am 20 years later.
How did you get, what kind of part did you have on One Life to Live, the soap opera, when you were 10?
I was a young orphan, kind of living by his wits on the street, who was found by this police officer breaking into his into his office. And I subsequently got adopted by two black characters who had been romantically involved with one another on this show for many years, and we sort of became the first African-American family on television. Or at least on a soap opera, daytime television, anyway.
That's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you enjoy it? Did it feel like work or fun?
It felt like fun. I mean, I got to miss school 1 or 2 days out of the week. I got paid a little bit of money.
Did your parents let you keep the money that you earned?
No, that money was put away.
For your college?
Yeah, well, I never went to college, so, you know. But, yeah,
you went to Apocalypse Now.
Yeah,
instead.
I went to Apocalypse Now school.
If you're just joining us, my guest is actor Larry Fishburne. The movie Apocalypse Now broke the hearts and souls of grown men who were in it. Mm. You were 15 when you were cast in that film. You were you were like the kid in the boat taking Martin Sheen down the river. Your mother came with you to the Philippines to shoot the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did your father feel? I mean, I'm sure you were expecting to be there for a few months. The movie took, I think, more than 2 years to
Yeah, we were told we were going to be there for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we wound up staying the better part of 2 years, 76 and 77.
So the family was divided for that period of time.
Well, you know, the family really, the family unit was my mother and myself. My mother and my father were, you know, divorced when I was very young.
Oh.
So I pretty much grew up with my mother. My father did, though, come over and spend a great deal of time with me. And it was actually for the first time in my life that my father and I lived together was when I was over there. And that was really nice. It was very, very, very nice.
How did it feel? Here you were working with Marlon Brando and Dennis Hopper and Robert Duvall, and you're there with your mom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel like, Mom, go home?
No, I mean, my mother was a teacher and is a very creative person herself. So she really let me go. I mean, to a large extent. I mean, in that environment, she recognized that her son was now, you know, 6 inches taller than her and was involved in this, you know, pretty serious undertaking. So she didn't try and restrain me in any way. She really let me go.
I'm sure there were a lot of, I mean, I'm guessing, I imagine that there were a lot of drugs on the set, a lot of marijuana and maybe LSD.
Mm-hmm.
So when your father was down there, him being a, you know, corrections officer, law enforcement guy, did he turn his head the other way?
Well, no, he didn't. He didn't, not at all. In fact, that was the reason that he came down.
Oh,
because
to keep you straight?
Yeah, really, to keep me straight. Because my mother, like I said, she let me go and she couldn't get me back. So she called in the big guns.
So what did he do?
He followed me around everywhere I went, and he carried a big stick. You think I'm kidding?
He really did carry a stick?
He really did.
Did he use it on you?
No. My father's psychological. My father's a very big man. He's very big.
Well, did he use that kind of psychological stuff on Dennis Hopper?
No, he didn't have to. He wasn't there for Dennis Hopper. He was there for me.
Uh-huh.
So it worked.
It did?
It worked.
Yeah. Were you afraid?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What was it like to be 15 years old and working with actors like Marlon Brando and Dennis Hopper, who seemed to have kind of flipped, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I saw the movie Hearts of Darkness about the making of Apocalypse Now, mm-hmm. and as extraordinary Brando and Hopper are as actors, they mm-hmm. seemed like they were so difficult to work with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so here you were watching these like two great actors behaving bizarrely.
Yeah, yeah, it was very interesting. Fortunately for me, my character is dead by the time we get to see those two guys. So I didn't have to work with them in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as behavior, I had never seen anybody behave the way Dennis Hopper did. And I think we all know that no one behaves the way that Brando does other than Brando. So it was very interesting, I was very impressionable, 14, 15. I had never heard of Dennis Hopper. But when I saw him, I had never seen a human being behave that way, and I was like, this is the guy. This is the cat. Forget about Brando. Forget about Sheen. This is the man. I want to be like this man. Because he was just out, you know? He was in a continual state of chaos. He was just amazing to watch, and those were not his best days.
Right.
But in order for him to get where he is, he had to go through that. So, I was very impressed. The whole experience, because I was so young, you see, to me, all of that was normal. It was only my second film. So I came back from that experience thinking, okay, well, this is the way you make movies. You have too much money, you have too much time, and you go completely crazy while you do it.
So how did you change when you tried to model yourself on Dennis Hopper?
Oh, well, you know, I tried to drink as much as I can, and smoke as much reefer as I can, and listen to as much loud music as I can, that kind of stuff.
Your father must have been thrilled.
He was. He was. Well, see, that's why he had to carry a big stick.
Right. So what got you out of that period?
I came home and... I had to go to high school. You know, I had to, like, finish high school, you know?
God, going to high school after making Apocalypse Now, that must have been something.
It was a joke. It really was. It was quite funny. But Francis was cool. He understood what he had done, you know?
What was the most... I'm sorry, go ahead.
He understood where he had kind of dropped me and what kind of environment he had dropped me in. So I went to go stay with him. He opened a school for gifted youngsters. Actually, the school he said, for kids who want to rule the world. And it was me and his son, and Giancarlo, who has passed away in 86. God bless him. And Mickey Hart's son and some other kids. So we ran around and we were like assistants to all these other people who were doing great things. You know, like I was Wim Wenders' assistant for a while,
huh.
Which meant I went and got the pizza and the cigars and cleaned up after they had, you know, readings and stuff.
So that's the high school you went to, or did you go to real high school after?
Well, I went to real high school after that, but you know, sort of in between going to real high school and graduating, I went to the school for kids who want to rule the world.
We're featuring a 1992 interview with Lawrence Fishburne. He's currently starring in the new film Othello. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back to our 1992 interview with Lawrence Fishburne. Now, you were a regular on Pee-wee's Playhouse.
You betcha.
You were cow... There you go. You were Cowboy Curtis.
Yes, ma'am. Ooh-wee.
And you had a great animated lasso.
Yes. Magic lasso.
Yeah. How'd you get the part with Pee-wee?
I met Pee-wee in L.A. Back in the early 80s. And he and I became friends, and I was doing Gardens of Stone, and I got this call. He said, I need a black cowboy. So I said, no problem, you know, and I saddled up and rode on in. Kind of where it's at.
Was it fun to work on the show?
It was wonderful.
I love that show.
I mean, it was the first, you know, television show for children that had live people on it for a long time.
Now, you've made two movies with Spike Lee.
No, I've made one with him.
One movie? Mm-hmm. Why am I thinking it's two? A School Days. What was I thinking of the second?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Was it Do the Right Thing?
No, I know you're not in that.
Mm-hmm.
You were asked to be in that.
I was asked to play Radio Raheem.
Yeah, but you turned it down.
Right.
How come?
I didn't like the part.
Yeah, tell me what you didn't like about it.
Well, I didn't like the script. I grew up in Brooklyn, too. And Radio Raheem, to me, wasn't well-developed as a character. He wasn't defined on the page. And that meant that I had to bring all the stuff to make him human to it. And I felt like I had done enough of that in terms of what I did in School Days for the character of Dap. The problem that I have with Spike's work is that he doesn't do as much rewriting as he could. And he leaves it to the actors to sort of fill in the blanks, which is nice. It's nice to have that kind of freedom. But at the same time, if you're allowed that kind of freedom and the director won't let you in on what his vision is, it's kind of difficult to know what to do. Spike has a ceiling that you can't see about how far he'll let you go. He welcomes your input and he welcomes your improvisation, but to a point. So it's difficult to know how far to go because he won't tell you how far you can go. And when things are well defined on the page, then you know how far to go. With Do the Right Thing, we got a script that I think was about 98 to 109 pages, with a character who had no dialogue, who was basically a device to create this big race riot scene at the end. And I'm not really kind of into race riots. I don't think they help anybody, so I passed.
You worked with John Singleton on Boys in the Hood.
Right.
I understand he was a production assistant on Pee-wee's Playhouse, and that's
you
how you
bet
met?
You.
Right, it's Cowboy Curtis again.
Yeah.
So that was the first script he wrote. Was that well fleshed out?
Very well. It's airtight, watertight. You know, I mean, he wrote it in school, in this dramatic writing program. He won an award for it. He went back and wrote it again, re-entered in the same contest and won the same award again 2 years in a row. He had thought about it for 4 years before he wrote it.
Was there anything about Furious, the father that you played in Boys in the Hood, that reminded you of your own father?
not until I saw the movie a couple of times did I see my father in my performance.
Uh-huh. What was it in your performance that reminded you of him?
There's just a look. There's a way that I hold my face in one particular scene that I went, oh, there's my dad, you know?
Is your mother really pleased with the way your career has turned out? You know, I think of all the child actors I've seen on Entertainment Tonight and all those shows talking mm-hmm. about how they have to be in self-help groups because their lives were so troubled and tragic mm-hmm. after the TV series stopped or whatever.
Right,
and
right.
You've gone on to a real serious, interesting, fine career.
Well, that was the other thing that my mother wanted me to do was be in a series, and that was the thing that, you know, I resisted.
Huh.
And I think it's because of that resistance that I've been able to survive and, you know, have a career as an adult.
Right.
You know, so I hope my mother is pleased.
Larry Fishburne, thanks a lot for talking with us.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Lawrence Fishburne recorded in 1992. He's currently starring in the film adaptation of Othello. This is Fresh Air.